Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
But a special speaker, Barry Harris, is here today. The other day I was at work, and the HR manager, we were having a one-on-one meeting, and she asked me, she was asking what my goals were for the future with the company and so on and so forth. But she asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it was half joking. Obviously, I'm not a child anymore. I mean, I act like it sometimes, but not a child anymore. But I was thinking to myself about that. There's a few gentlemen, you know, in this church specifically, that's what I want to be when I grow up. And Barry is absolutely one of those. So Barry, if you could come up here, every time he comes up to preach, I get blessed by it. He's got just the ability to give wisdom with humor, that you can't ignore it. You can't walk away from one of his sermons and not be blessed by it, not be changed by it. So
be careful and don't overbuild me here.
Yeah, I'm building this up, so you got to deliver. It's on you. Another thing, Barry and Joan just celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary. That, again, that's what I want to be when I grow up, right? Now, I think that many anniversaries, I think you're getting into Abraham and Sarah territory, so I don't know if there's been any promises from God about another kid.
Yes, sir,
just kidding. But let me pray for you real quick.
Thank you.
Father God, we thank you for this mighty man of God. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom that you have given him, his willingness to share it with others. Lord, I just pray that you would open the ears of our hearts today so that we would receive what it is you have to say through him. And we bless this man, we bless his message, and we thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I think maybe I've been overbilled here, okay? So, but we'll do what we can. All right. Keeping in the theme of the pastor's direction for this year was fearless and faithful. I mean, remember that. Fearless and faithful. Amen. So keeping with that, I wanted to do this sermon on this story, and I'm going to do it a little bit different, okay? What we'll do is we'll tell the story, go through, and then I'll do the sermon at the very end after we tell the story. And this is about when things go bad, or when things, when bad things happen. That's what this is a story about. And in the story, there's some bad things, okay? And I hope you're not too shocked when we get to it, but there's some pretty bad things in this story. Life can become difficult at any time. Difficulty can grab us, and death of a close person to you. That can throw your life into a tailspin. Yeah. Maybe divorce. And, you know, by the way, Joan and I look at each other every once in a while. I don't want to say too much about what she would think, okay? But I'm amazed that I've gotten this far and with this woman. Because as you know a million things can happen to your marriage. And very often, sometimes divorces, you know, just, I've seen people just throw them into a tailspin because of our loss of a job or this COVID. What about this COVID thing? I thought we was over it. And now here they call it, what, the second wave? And so it just seems like it's all around me now, where it wasn't before. But that, so what do you do when things go bad? Who can you turn to when things go bad? Now, you know, the Bible is full of salvation stories. Let me tell you what I mean by that. If you go to the Old Testament, the most important event in the Old Testament is the Exodus. Amen? You can agree on that. The most important event in the Old Testament is the Exodus. Now, if you go to the burning bush where Moses gets commissioned, what does God say? I have heard the cry of my people and have come down to deliver them. Salvation story. And over again, you get this, where God said, I have heard the cry of my people and have come down to deliver them. Now, if you go to the New Testament, most important event in the New Testament is the cross and the resurrection. And that is a salvation story where Christ takes upon himself our sin and he dies on our behalf, sheds his blood. Two things that the blood means in the Bible is what? Life. Amen. Yeah. So forgiveness is ours. The shedding of the blood. Life is in the blood. The forgiveness of our sins. So you have what? You have a salvation story in the cross and in the resurrection. So I want to keep that in mind as we go through this story. The Bible, again, the Bible is just full of it. First of all, in the story, things become difficult. Okay, you do. Now, it came about after this that Ben-Hadad, and by the way, Ben means son of Hadad, so the king of Aram, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. Now, this is the way the story begins, okay? It's in the 2 Kings 6th chapter, verse 24. That's the way the story begins. So now you gotta get into this world for a minute, okay? You gotta get into this world. They don't have big nations in this world. They got like what we call city-states. And suppose you have a city, and you got a king, or what we would refer to as a mayor, and run that, you know, and you're running, and you accumulate some value. Okay, let's say you accumulate some value, something of value, maybe some little bit of gold or silver, whatever you have something of value. There's somebody planning to take it away from you. That's just the way the world works. So evidently they had something of value there. And so here comes this king with his army, and he's going to take it away. Now the way he's going to do it is to siege the city, just set up to where nobody goes in, nobody goes out, and you can imagine what things look like after that. It's a warfare, it's a strategy, and this is when things go bad for the city. Can you kind of start to see that? Things are going to go really bad. You know, everybody is a good sailor on a calm sea. But when the winds start and the waves get big, then you start, well, where's the value at then? Okay? All right. So we got the idea that this is a way of warfare. You just wait till everybody gets hungry enough that they surrender. And then you do with them what you like. That's the way it is. Okay. Things take a turn for the worst. You ever heard anybody say, things can't get any worse? Huh? Wrong! Things can always get worse. And sure enough, they do. So there was a severe famine in Samaria. And behold, they kept besieging it until the donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver. Think what the carcass must have been worth if the head's worth 80 shekels of silver. And a fourth of a cab of dove dung. And this is really hard to translate, by the way. This one here, and No, no, really, it is. It's really hard to translate, and they just don't know. Okay, that's what I'm reading. I'm putting that out there. Okay, yeah, we don't. Yeah, we don't know the answer to that. We don't know. For shekels of silver, 5 shekels of silver. Okay, but now we know about a donkey's head. Not much meat on a donkey's head. So what are they trying to? Things are bad. Things are really bad. People are starving. Something, I have not faced anything like this. Anything comparable to this. Okay. And most of us haven't. Okay. And so, and there they are, people say, you know, things cannot really get worse. Can they? Yes, they can. When the Nazis told the Jews to get on the train, I know that some of them said to one another, things can't get any worse. But they did not know the death and hell that waited for them in the concentration camps. And things got worse. We live in such a great time. All of my life, born in 1943, and all of my life, I can say, has been lived in affluence. My dad didn't have to go to war because he worked in a steel mill. I do not know this suffering that I'm talking about this morning, but I'm trying to understand it as I go through it, okay? Wish you would do the same thing. We just live in a great time, all right? Can the King help us? That's where help was saw before. Okay? Can the King help us now? Can we go to that? When the King heard the woman's words, he tore his clothes. And he was passing by on the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had on sackcloth underneath his on his body. Then he said, "May God do so to me. If the head of Elisha, the son of Zarephath, remains on him today." Now, see, that things are really bad. And he's got sackcloth on him. And what's his remedy? Kill Elisha. Not only is the King helpless to do any good for somebody, he's going to even add to human suffering by killing Elisha. This doesn't seem very bright to me. But that's the way people think sometimes. And they fall into this nihilistic mind and that kind of thing. That the King is not able to help us. There's a story in here with the King that the woman asked him to help her. Who knows this story? The woman asked to help her because her and another woman have agreed to eat their one child today. You know, okay. And tomorrow eat the other one. And that woman hid her son to keep it from being eaten. And that's what they brought to the King, the judge. When things really go bad, justice and fairness is out the window. You're only in a survival mode then. By the way, Kathy's late husband, Jim, I think I remember right, Kathy's late husband, Jim, had a sermon on this passage, this story. And I got it and listened to it on the CD, I think is what that was. I got it and listened to it. Very good sermon. Okay, but I'm going to take a different tack on it than he did. But he went about the city being under siege and how bad things were. And then he said, you know, the church acts like it's under siege at times. I thought it was really good. Yeah, I was impressed that there are actually people who read this story. And secondly, that they actually understand it and then try to pass it on. But there's no help in the King. And you know, some of our deepest needs cannot be met by government. You know, It just can't, okay? I don't want to preach there, okay? Let's go to the next one. I think Elijah begins. Oh, that's the next slide. That's where they eat the son and then want to eat the other one. Things are so bad they've turned to cannibalism. That's how bad things are. Okay, let's go to the next one. That's Elijah injects hope into the situation. That's what God does. He injects hope into situation. And here he said, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel. What he's saying is, this time tomorrow, food will be at market price. Boy, that's a great thing. Tomorrow, this time, food will be at market price. By the way, there's one of the king's aides hears this, and he responds to that, and he says, yeah, when pigs fly. Well, I think I gave the redneck interpretation of that. But he said, when pigs fly. And immediately, the prophet says, you'll see it, but you can't eat any of it. And he gets trampled. Later, he gets trampled at the gate. You know, another lesson here. Faith gets everything. Doubt gets nothing. Faith gets everything. Doubt gets nothing. Let's go to the next slide. That's what the royal officer says. The book of Ecclesiastes says, where there's life, there's hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Now, we've got some hope injected into this. But nobody knows how this is going to come about. And nobody's saying what they think is how it will come about, right? Now we go to the 4 lepers there at the gate. Now there were 4 lepers, leprous men at the entrance of the gate. They said to one another, why are we sitting here? That's a good question. Now listen to how they handled it. They raised a question. What are we doing sitting here? If we enter the city, the famine is there. Okay, if I do this, that will happen. Okay, go into the city. The famine is in the city, and what will happen to us? We will die. So here we sat, 4 of us lepers. And where are they? At the gate. They're not in the city. And I want to remind you, they probably never heard Elijah's prediction because they're outside. They're in no man's land. And what do they say? If we sit here, we die. We go into the city, what will happen? We'll die. Why? Why would you die if you went into the city? There's no food there. There's no food there. But if we go into the camp and they don't kill us, what will happen to you? We'll live. If they spare us, we will live. If they kill us, what? We will but die. Okay? That's the dilemma that they find themselves in. So what's the best move? Go to the camp. Yeah. Go to the camp. I think somebody asked Jesse James, why do you rob banks? He says, well, that's where the money's at. That's where the money is. So why would you go down there? Because that's where the food is. The only people that have food is there. That's why you want to go there. It just makes sense. I want you to get there, okay? It just makes sense. And so what do? They get up and they go. And what do they find? They find food. When the men of leprosy came to the outskirts of the camp, they entered one tent. They ate and drank. How's that happened? Because God caused them to all run off and leave everything. I know, just run off. They just run off and left everything. They left their horses. They left their donkeys. They left their food. Yeah, just everything. They just ran off. They got scared and run off. And what did these guys do? Well, they went in and ate their fill. As soon as they ate their fill, what do? They start tearing stuff off and burying it. Okay? And then they have a better idea. Let's go. They got the better idea. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing the right thing. Oh, for this is a day of good news, but we are keeping silent about it. Wait until the morning light. Punishment will overtake us. Now then, come, let us go and inform the king's household." So they're going to then share what they have found. All of a sudden, they realize that the blessing that will fall upon them, that they don't do right unless they share that with other people. Amen. All right. Amen. Well, now that's come to the end of the story. Okay? They share it, you know, and everybody gets saved. All right? I want us to now try to apply the story as best we can. Okay? I want you to see, if you will, that there's the city with the great need. Amen? We went over that. Yeah, we discussed that. They're starving to death, and they are so bad off, they're practicing cannibalism. So you got this great need over here. Okay? Now, at the same time, we don't know when that was or how long it was, you have the answer over here in the camp. Amen? The food. Hello? Oh, we're on the same page? So you got the need, and you got the answer that exists simultaneously. We don't know how long that was, but they did. And what do they need? To bring the two together. That's what needs to happen. And how does that happen? Four lepers. That's how it takes place in the story. Four lepers. The outcast. The people that are at the city wall. That's who brings about salvation. God prepared a miracle to meet the need. All that needs to happen is what? To get the two together. And who does that? The four lepers. So I want to preach a sermon. I'm not going to be real short. I mean, real long. It's going to be real short, okay? I want to preach a sermon now to you about the four lepers. Okay? Number one, there's only going to be 3 points to this, okay? Number one is they used reason. What did they say? If we sit here, we die. We go into the city, we die. Listen to what they're doing. They're raising questions and using their imagination, the outcome of their life. If I do this, this will happen. If I do that, that will happen. They're using the thinking, the apparatus that God has given them. You know, we look for inspiration. Amen? But it's all according to how it comes. One preacher says to another, he says, I go up there and wait for the inspiration for God to give it to me at the moment. Boy, that's good when that happens. Amen? You guys are speaking, you know. That's great when that happens, right? The other preacher says, I know that God is with me in the preparation of writing my sermon. We often overlook that as Christians, is your ability to reason. I'm Zooming with a group of guys, by the way, I love it, okay? think there's just one of them here. Palmer, I think you're the only one here out of our group. We started Zooming with the book, I think it was Switch on Your Brain. That's a good book. That's the way we started, okay? Switch on your brain. So that's what I'm suggesting to you today is to switch on your brain. Paul writes to the Philippians, and he writes them this. God in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So God is working in you to will things to happen. And I don't want us to overlook that facility, the great capacity that God has given us, and that is the ability to reason and to think. And that's exactly what these lepers did. Number two. That's number one. Can we say amen to that? Okay. I want you to don't underestimate your power to reason and to think. Okay? We got that. And that is one of the ways in which God will inspire you. That's where we need. We need to be inspired, and that's how we get inspired. We'll come back to that a little later. Second thing that you need is to act on what you know. Second thing you need to do is to act on what you know. And this is where courage comes into the picture. Now, courage and faith get blurred, okay? So don't necessarily try to separate those two. They get blurred, okay? But this is where you need to have courage to do what you know to do. In the book of Revelation, which I don't preach on very much, okay? It's out there. It's a little more, I have trouble going with it. But I work on it. I'm working on it. Okay, I'm working on it. But there's a couple of things that one can learn in there. One of the things is about the lake of fire. Amen? Chapter 21. That's scary. And all kinds of ugly people go to the lake of fire. You know that. Okay? Matter of fact, it's enumerated who all goes to the lake of fire. I'm not suggesting this would be great reading, okay, but this is stuff I do. I read this stuff. Do you know the number one reason listed? I'm talking about the list now. Chapter 21, verse 8, of those who go to the lake of fire. The number one? You're going to love this. Coward. Yes, that's exactly what I thought when I read it too. That's how important courage is. If God says, through your thinking, there's food in that camp, do you want to go down there? I don't know that they're gone. I don't know what God's doing. I don't know. That's scary. How do I override that? With my faith and courage. How to override that? Let me give you an illustration of that. By the way, did you see, is it Jeff Bezos? Is that his name? He made a shot to the moon here not long ago. Do you all watch that? I thought that's something. Got the rocket back, and he also came back with a group. I thought that's good. Number one woman in flight or something like that. But you know what? Those engineers didn't wait till they got scary turned off before they made that shot. They didn't wait till they got gravity turned off before they made that shot. You know what they did? They superseded it with power. That's what they did. And that's what you have to do with your life. You have to supersede the scary times with courage and faith. Okay, but again, that they get bound up together. And the last thing here about the four lepers is they found life. You see that? When they found that food, they found life. And that's the first thing on our list here, is to get that life inside us. Okay? Now, once they got that life, they realized that they what? Need to share that with other people. Oh, now they've got meaning. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Not only do I have life now, but I have meaning in my life. Oh, what a wonderful thing. And if I might take the words of Jesus and apply here, that He has come that we might have life, and then life more abundantly. The life is when you come to Jesus and you get that life, and the abundant life is when you find the purpose and meaning of that life. And that's exactly what they did. I can hear Mordecai telling Esther, who was afraid to go to the king, she needed courage to supersede that fear. And he says to her, "Who knows? You have come to the palace for a day such as this." Amen. Who knows? You have come to this time for just a day as this. So not only can you find life, that's wonderful. Amen. That's great. Amen. But oh no, when you find it more abundantly means that you've got the life with meaning to share with others. Let me see, make sure. Okay, I think I got it. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a moment and bow your head right where you're at. Just, nobody knows. You're going to use your thinking apparatus, amen? You're going to be like the lepers. You're going to use your thinking apparatus. Now, I just want to ask you, what could your life be worth? What could it be like if you did everything you know to do from this day till next year? What would that life be like? What would it look like? Now, once you do that, once you imagine that, I want to tell you that you owe that person something already. You owe that person something. And I want you to have the courage to make that journey, to be the best person that God has created you to be. Once you get a vision of that, what you can be, if you do everything you know to do, what will your life be like? What will you be like? And then have the courage to make that journey. You owe that person something. Did we do good? Did you do that? The best you could? You're not used to doing that. Sometimes that gets a little strange, okay? But you can work on that, okay? You owe that person something. Amen. All right. I'm done, Harlan.
Wow, that was good, Barry. It's always good to do some self-reflection and also to look forward, to see what God has called us to do and to be. And that message was, for me, it hit home really good because maybe a week or two ago, I had kind of this concept pop in my mind, and I was trying to explain it to my wife, and I didn't do a very good job of explaining it. This message is did a lot better of explaining it than I did. But I was thinking, I'm a very logical, very practical person, right? But that doesn't, just because I'm logical and, you know, maybe I'm good with numbers and things like that, doesn't mean I'm wise, right? That doesn't necessarily mean I'm wise. And just because I or somebody else uses faith and we step out in faith consistently, again, doesn't necessarily mean that we're wise in it, right? But I had this thought that logic plus faith equals wisdom, right? And this story is a perfect example of that. And it didn't come to my mind at the time, but the lepers, they used logic. Like you said, they, you know, thought, well, if I stay here, or if we stay here, we're going to die. If we go in the city, we're going to die. But if we go to that camp, maybe we'll live. Maybe, you know, maybe we won't die. But then they had to have that faith and that courage to actually take a chance to do something. Well, and then to take it a little bit further, because I was trying to explain to her that logic plus faith, you know, it equals wisdom, but a lot of times we can't do that on our own. A lot of times that's why, you know, because like I said, I'm very logical. She's very much, you know, faith first type of person. And so us together equals wisdom. So that same story, it kind of popped in my head while you were saying it. I'd be willing to bet that if it was just one leper there, they wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't have gone to that camp. One person on their own, even if they had that same thought, they probably wouldn't have been able to push themselves to go there. But the four of them together, talking amongst each other, sharing logic, sharing their faith, they pushed each other to do better and to walk in that wisdom and to do what God had called them to do. So I just encourage you all, whether it's your spouse, friends, family, logic, your logic plus their faith or vice versa, together can bring wisdom and can get all of you to where God has called you to be. So that's my soapbox for today. Really appreciate it, Barry. Awesome message. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we just thank you for this great word that you shared with us through Barry this morning, God. It's deep, and it's something that really hits home, and something that we should all look to practice, something that we should all utilize to move forward, God, to reflect on the logic, the things that you have given us, the abilities that you have given us to be able to put two and two together, but also, God, to step in that faith, to walk out in courage, the things that you have called us to do, Lord. And by putting those together, we can be everything that you've called us to be, God. So, Lord, I just bless those in attendance today and those that are watching online, Lord. We pray that you would just open up their eyes, open up their ears, Lord, to see you, to hear you, to know what it is you want them to do. Give them wisdom. Lord, don't let them be blind to the logic, to the things that you put in front of them, but don't let them be so stubborn or arrogant, and this is to myself too, that we don't step out and that we don't have faith that you're the one that sees us through. So Lord, we bless each and everyone today. Pray that you would just bless them as they go today, and we just speak a hedge of protection over everyone that's here today as they go throughout their week. Speak of hedge of protection around Pastor Drod and Val as they travel back from Montana. We thank you for each person. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.